Suicidal transgender who hates Trump's Christians and Jews shoots up kids at a Catholic school, and the media wants to take away your handgun. So how are we supposed to protect ourselves from trans shooters? The media is bad at pattern recognition. We aren't. Just 2 years ago, another trans 20-something walked into a Christian school in Nashville with a rifle and shot 3 kids and 3 adults. They buried the manifesto and locked down the case. We've seen trans shootings in Colorado and in Maryland. They even shot up an ICE facility in Texas. And it seems like half of Antifa's trans. A couple of they-thems just got popped for firebombing Teslas. The mayor of Minneapolis says, you can't say that.
Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids.
I don't hate anyone who thinks they're trans. I feel sorry for them. But statistically, the trans population has been prone to violence. That's not villainizing, that's reality. And if you can't recognize reality, you're in danger. We love the American people, especially American children. And if they're troubled and believe they're somehow a girl trapped in a boy's body, we want to get them help. We don't want to give them hormones and operate on them. Society shouldn't be trying to produce more trans kids. We shouldn't be encouraging an emotional disorder or whatever this is. And doctors should stop profiting from it. Great Britain ended child sex change surgeries. They said it's barbaric, and they're right. And politicians should stop elevating the trans issue like it's the civil rights struggle of the 21st century. You see it all over Minneapolis.
All right, that was Jesse Waters, and that was his monologue, opening monologue last night. I've never heard Jesse more on target. He's good. He's always good. He's been good for years, but I've never heard such passion from him. This has really hit a nerve, as it has with me. Sandy Rios with you, by the way. There's so much to say about what Jesse just said. I'm going to be talking about this in today's podcast about what we know about Robin Westman and what we know about what happened on that day and a lot of other things that you might not have heard. I'm sure you've been probably clued in a little bit yourself to the television and picked up quite a bit of information. Some of it you will know. But I'll kind of retrace those details, but I'm going to bring you more information. We have a little clip of his video before the night before he went on his killing spree. It's very upsetting. I have a lot of upsetting things to play for you and to tell you, but also some redemption. And so this is Sandy Rios, of course, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us anytime at 662-821-2040 and leave a message for us or have a comment. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. As a matter of fact, AFR.net, AmericanFamilyRadio.net is home base for us, but you can hear us on Spotify and Amazon and Apple. And also you can go to my website, sandyrios.com, if you're less familiar with actually going to podcast platforms. Just go sandyrios.com, and you can listen very easily. Well, if you could go back in time and stop the Holocaust, would you do that? If you could rescue even one person from the worst human atrocities in history, would you? Well, think about this. Every single day in America, around 3,000 babies are aborted. Someday history will look back on this as a genocide of our children, because right now, 1 in 4 pregnancies ends in abortion. But unlike the past, you can do something about this today. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life. This year alone, over 38,000 babies have been rescued. And the ultrasound, that simple moment when a mom sees her baby, is the game changer. It literally doubles a baby's chances at life. So let me ask you again, if you could save a life, would you? Well, you know that you can if you listen to this show, if you just go to preborn.com/Sandy. It costs $28 to provide an ultrasound for one baby and one woman to see her baby. That's just one. So $28 would be a wonderful contribution, and any amount of that after that, as much as you can afford, what you can manage today. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy and let's save lives. Today's show is going to be all about the death of children. And this is just one other avenue in which we are on a regular basis killing our children. We need to stop it. So go to preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, today it's just me, and I have lots of different clips and lots of observations, some inside information that I hope that you will learn from as we kind of labor together today to understand what just happened in Minneapolis on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Minneapolis will continue to be a safe haven.
For our trans community.
For being a safe haven for transgender individuals.
We have sued them for gender-affirming care. Yes, we are not going to scapegoat our transgender community.
When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them.
So when your 9-year-old tells you he's a horse, do you let him sleep out in the barn and eat hay? What are we doing here? Just a few years ago, the psychiatric community classified transgenderism as a mental illness. Then doctors went woke and removed it as a condition, and now millions of young Americans are identifying themselves as trans and getting high fives. When someone has an illness, we should treat it instead of affirm it. We don't celebrate schizophrenia. We don't encourage depression. Teenagers are confused. Sometimes these things are just a phase. And if they're not, all right, then a grown man can wear a dress. If he wants to do that in America, he has that right. We're a pretty darn tolerant society. But the left's weaponizing trans kids and turning them into culture warriors. And they've been turned loose against the church, schools, and Trump. You see it, I see it. The trans Klan has a militant wing, and it's out for blood. They're taking lives, defiling churches, and freaking everybody out.
All right, Jesse Waters again. That was part two of his monologue. I just think he deserves a shout out. It was just excellent. Now, he has covered a lot of bases in that. But at the beginning of that clip, that montage was people from Minnesota, people at leadership, Tim Walz. You know, he made Minnesota a sanctuary state for transgenderism. And there's so much to say about that, but that is how crazy they have become, untethered from reality. In fact, you heard earlier in Jesse's, the first part of his opening, this statement by Mayor Fry. This is right after the shooting, and he's standing out in front of the police. The police chief has just made a very eloquent presentation of what happened. And I'm going to repeat, this is what Mayor Fry said, clip three.
I have heard about a whole lot of hate that's being directed at our trans community. Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity. We should not be operating out of a place of hate for anyone. We should be operating from a place of love for our kids. Kids died today. This needs to be about them. This needs to be wrapping our arms around these families with every bit of love that we can possibly show. And I know that our Minneapolis family and well beyond is prepared to do exactly that.
All right, there's a lot to say about that, but I just remember, it reminded me of right after 9/11, the left rushed in, and they were led and taught, actually, by the Muslim Brotherhood and by CARE. Believe me, I was right there on the front row for this. They started shaming Americans for having any bad feelings toward Muslims or toward Islam. Don't you dare, don't you dare. It's Islamophobia. They slammed and shut us down and managed to turn it into something where if we pointed out that the teachings of Islam were not compatible with the West, were very dangerous, were just not ever going to work, we were Islamophobic and shut out and punished. And that's what Jacob Frey is trying to do. If you say anything bad about transgenders, well, you hate them. No, you... Yeah, so this is the game they play, and we have to be aware of it. Well, what happened? Let me just kind of repeat some of the details in case I know most of you absolutely know about this, but you might not remember all the details. You might not know them. You might not have heard them. But as best I can repeat them for you, this is a young man, 23 years old. His mother worked at that school at some point in time. He went to, the children were going to be in mass. It was their second day of school. The school's kind of big. I think they have like 350 students. And so they were ushered into the chapel for their first mass. Meanwhile, Robert was barring the two doors that leave that chapel that face the part of the school where he was going to shoot. He had three guns. He had a rifle, he had a shotgun, and a handgun. And so once the kids were then asked to pray, and they got on their knees to pray, that's when Robert started shooting through the window, aiming at these children. And he shot, I don't know, they said there was so many rounds shot that people thought it was something else, like it was a thunder or something of that, an explosion, but not one person shooting all of these guns. He aimed at the children, and I'm going to talk in a minute about his manifesto and the things that we know now about his plans. He wanted to kill those children. He wanted to kill them. And so he did. I remember you perhaps have seen this one little boy. He's about probably 10. And he says that his buddy jumped on top of him to save him. And the friend of his got shot in the back. These are children. These are children. Robert managed to kill two of them, one 8-year-old and one 10-year-old. I don't think we know much about the victims yet. He injured 17, and very seriously. 14 of those were children. I know that two of them were elderly people. I don't know anything about them either at this point, but that's what we know about that. So he did all of that, and then he took a gun and killed himself in the parking lot. Okay, so that's basically what happened. But before that, of course, he did write this manifesto, and I want to talk to you about that. I think maybe the best way to start this conversation about him and his manifesto, I pulled out his, this is not readily available, I don't think, at least it wasn't when I found it yesterday. This is a video that that Robert made the night before he killed in cold blood these children. And I thought it would be good. I just am having us, we're just going to play a minute, 5 seconds, because it's just so dreadful. And I warn you right now, this is dreadful too. If you have any children, you might not want them to listen to this, but I think you need to hear it. This is Robert Westman, the night before he murdered those children, clip 4.
Swing. Here's my note to my family. Wow, some English writing, wow. Hope you can read that. Yeah. Peace, love, unity, and guns. My brother.
All right. That last sound was bullets. Because what he does in this video is he goes over each of his weapons. And with the bullets, they're shiny gold, golden looking and brand new. And he's like, you know, you heard him. Mm. And he talks about the bullets. And his guns have all these things written on them. One of them has written on it, "For the children." Another one says, "Where is your God?" Another said, "Kill Donald Trump." There are a lot more things that he wrote, but I want to say he also drew a picture. Now, this is, I have the cover, a big full-page drawing from his notebook in my hand, a copy of it, of course. And it's a self-rendition of him standing before a mirror. And he has a big gun strapped to his back, and he's looking in the mirror. It's actually like a bathroom. It's got the sink. He's even got the soap, the spout for the water, and he's looking in the mirror at himself, only what he sees in the mirror is Satan. No doubt about it. It is absolutely Satan, and it's as though he's seeing his reflection. And he has kind of a writing on this that you can't really discern. But I have some friends who speak Russian, and it is actually in Russian. And this is what he says in part. He says, "Who? When will this end? Help me. I don't want to. Help. Kill yourself. Kill." That's the Russian that he wrote. I don't know if this is all of it, this some of it, at least on this page that he wrote, that he drew of himself. Now, one thing I failed to say, which is a huge part of the story, of course, is that Robert was transitioned to Robin, I think about in 2021, something like that, maybe 2022, I can't recall. But his mother, who worked at that Annunciation Catholic school, did this for him, signed the papers, and completely supported his transitioning to Robin Westman. Now, we don't know if his transition has included medication, hormones. We don't know. He had his hair long, like a woman. You know. I know you know. We've seen enough transgender people now that we have a good idea of what that might look like. And so, in his manifesto, and as he walked around the room, he actually showed the wooden, he had decorated these wooden boards that he used to block those exit doors. He had them, you know, he had all kinds of wording on it. I couldn't tell you everything. He wrote a lot, but he had that prepared. He said the pistol was probably for him. So I don't think they've said yet if he killed himself with that pistol, but that's evidently what he had in mind. And so, let's see if there's anything else that was in that manifesto, because I want to tell you all that I know. And he, also in Russian, this is from another person that I know, he said, he singled out the Annunciation School. Whether coincidence or not, the school and parish are named after the angel Gabriel's annunciation to the Virgin Mary, that she would bear a son, and of course that's from the Gospel of Luke, who would fulfill the Jewish prophecy of a virgin giving birth to the Messiah. For months, he showed intent to murder the children. You know, I would say that based on what I saw in that video, he was tricked out in every way with these guns, with the outfit he wore all black. He held his shirt up about, look how great this shirt is. He had thought of everything. I find myself wondering how in the world his parents, and by the way, they've been very silent about the parents except for the fact that the mother worked at that school. But the father, we don't know anything other than we hear in a news report that he may have owned one of the houses that was what was gone through by the FBI. So That's his manifesto, and I may think of other things as we go along here that I saw in that. Oh, this also, he wrote this. He said, I recently heard a rumor that James Holmes, the Aurora Theater shooter, may have chosen venues that were, quote, gun-free zones. I would probably aim the same way, to shoot on the run and maybe change some minds. I understand why high-security places like prisons or airports are different, but for most public places, the people are going in are unarmed. Holmes wanted to make sure his victims would be unarmed. That's why I and many others like schools so much. At least for me, I am focused on them. Adam Lanza is my reason. And that's a whole other story, Adam Lanza. I'm not even going to go into that today. You can read about it in the news somewhere. But so he chose this school because he knew that they would be unarmed, as the other transgender shooter, James Holmes, at the Aurora Theater had written. So I guess one of the things that we should talk about is this whole business of demon possession, because I'm having discussions with people. We all have varying understandings. Some are not believers. Some are from other faiths. But there's been an interesting discussion with me and some of my friends about this. And, of course, for those of us that know Scripture, understand that this is demon possession. Whether there are drugs involved, and there certainly may be, that's not mutually exclusive. This is demonic possession. You know, I think of Satan is referred to in Scripture as the destroyer. He is the destroyer. And what we see through the ages is he doesn't possess people that are not willing. I think it's pretty, you know, he doesn't just randomly, he doesn't take a preacher or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or, you know, someone who has the knowledge of Christ and has the Holy Spirit in him. I think it'd be a tough thing for a demon to possess that person because they're owned by the Almighty God. Nevertheless, the person generally speaking is, that's why we are warned not to mess with the occult. Don't mess with Ouija boards. Don't mess with it. Don't play with it. Because when we have a willing person, like a willing person is someone also that is willing to thumb their nose at God about who they are. I mean, what's more insulting to God than to decide, declare yourself no longer a guy, but you're going to, because you want to, by your will and your design, you're going to make yourself a woman. You're going to become a woman. That is a defiance of God right there. So that's a willing participant in godlessness. And those are the people that the Satan can use. He inhabits them. But what I found in other stories, I think of the mass way out of the Northwest. It's been so many years. He had been a really nice guy, and he got into pornography, and he just kept getting into worse kinds and worse kinds. And then finally, it just was, the whole thing was progressive. And finally, he felt compelled to molest and kill, and that's what he did. He ended up killing lots of women, and the deeds kept getting worse and worse. But he did express regret. He was tormented about it. Because, and there are other examples like that where people become possessed. They don't really want to do what they're doing after a while. It's too much, but they can't extricate themselves. They are possessed. I think that's based on what Robert said in his manifesto. I think this may very well be the case. Help me. I don't want to. So I think it's possession, a clear case of possession. And generally speaking, when in these cases, when the person who is inhabited by a demon and is used by that demon to kill and destroy, and just is out of control, I can't think of an example, not that I know them all, I can't think of an example that I have known of and been made aware of where the person didn't then take their own life or weren't killed in the process, but usually it's suicide. And I would just point out someone that you're all very familiar with. That would be Judas Iscariot. Judas was a devil. Jesus said that, and yet we know he had some remorse, and then he went out and killed himself. So I just think that there's a parallel there. And so I believe it's possession, demon possession for sure. But one of the things that Jesse pointed out, and he's right, were the responses of the politicians. Let me go there next, because Jacob Frey, now I just played for you this clip of him talking about warning the people of Minnesota and people listening, don't hate transgenders. You're already hating because you are pointing out that this young man is a transgender, that means you're hating him. Just because you're calling out the horrible deeds he did, that means you're hating him. It is really just, don't let them manipulate you. I'm tired of this. I am tired of this. I'm tired. I've been called a hater since I was in Chicago in the 90s because of my stand on homosexuality. Believe me, I got death threats and everything else. It never really bothered me when they called me a hater because I knew it was nonsense. And I had really tense conversations with gay activists on the phone who would call in over that very issue. And I always told them, I said, "That you know that's not true. You know that is not hate. You know my opposition to this is not hate. And so we're not even going to go there. That is a silly argument." So that's the way I feel about this too, but it does have power. So Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, made his, you know, don't you dare hate transgenders because you object to, you know, Robert just killing all of these children and shooting up a mass where these little innocent children were just prey. And by the way, in his video, he talks about killing the children. He laughs about it. Can't wait to do it. You know, that is also just the pit of hell. What did Jesus say about harming little children? He was very clear. Don't you dare harm little children. If you do, it would be better for you. And of course, this is the language of ancient days. They didn't have guns, but to have a millstone, a huge stone, fastened to your neck and you be thrown into the sea, it would be better for you of what you're going to receive in terms of judgment. And so here's another point. I just find this really interesting. This is another thing that Mayor Jacob Frey said at a news conference with the chief of police, O'Hara. This is what he said. These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in church. But then he says, in another paragraph, he talks about enough of this, you know, thoughts and prayers. The kids were praying. They were praying. Enough of those thoughts and prayers. So you know what? That reminded me very much of what Robert said. He is saying the same thing. Where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? Isn't that what Jacob Frey is saying? Don't just say thoughts and prayers right now. Those children were praying, he says. Isn't that, where is your God? Where is your God? That's what Jacob Frey, that's what Robert Westman said. Where is your God? Well, I could just say that Robert Westman knows where is our God now. He knows. He knows. I also want to just randomly say that I thought about his mother and the fact that she signed this transition to calling himself Robin, allowing him to transition to be a girl. And you could say a lot about that. I would be very hard on her. I hate that. But I remembered, on the other hand, she was his baby. Can you imagine, moms, I have a son. Do you have a son? You remember holding your son in your arms and watching him take his first steps and listening to him laugh and learn how to speak and the fun that you had with him. Can you imagine if this were your boy? Can you imagine? So my heart has a lot of mercy for this mother. She's going to get a lot of blowback for what she did, I think, and she should. But she also must be feeling this pain terribly. So we need to pray for that family. They're very lost that they wouldn't have done this. So I want to give you one other example of who this Mayor Frey is. And someone has said he's a Soros pick. I don't know about that, but that's a comment that someone made. He, of course, is the mayor of Minneapolis. And when George Floyd was killed or died, whatever happened to him, I guess he had a medical episode, and they said that he was killed by the policeman, which turned out not to be true. And so George Floyd, of course, was made into some sort of a hero. He had a golden casket, and they had this service for him. And, of course, there was a lot of emotion. And I understand all of that. I'm not trying to make fun of that, except that it was not true, and it got blown out of proportion. And so Mayor Jacob Frey was there at the funeral, and there is a video of him on his knees just sobbing, shaking his shoulders at the casket. And he has a mask on, and it goes on for a very long time. And so this is what he actually said about George Floyd to the people of Minneapolis. This is clip two.
And the emotion-ridden conflict over last night is the result of so much built-up anger and sadness. Anger and sadness that has been ingrained in our Black community, not just because of 5 minutes of horror, but 400 years. If you're feeling that sadness and that anger, it's not only understandable, it's right. It's a reflection of the truth that our Black community has lived. While not from lived experience, that sadness must also be understood by our non-Black communities. To ignore it, to toss it out, would be to ignore the values we all claim to have that are all the more important during a time of crisis.
You know, this is what the left does. This is an emotional response. It's so-called love used to manipulate. And I'll explain what I mean. Look, I don't mean to trivialize this. I have my own history with racism, and I don't even want to go into this on the air today because it's a different topic. But I would just say I was a real zealot against racism. I got into fights with family members, close family members over this years ago. So don't tell me about feeling about it. But the thing that you have to have empathy and understand, but that doesn't mean you have to check your brain at the door, because there is a lot of nonsense that goes on in the Black community. There's a lot of manipulation of them over things that are not true, which was the case with George Floyd. So we can't feign like, oh, I'm so sorry. Look, I have a severely disabled child, and it was a very difficult thing raising and taking care of her. So people sometimes who know my story might feel sorry for me, but please, that was a number of years ago, and God has been so good to me. I don't want people like moping around me or like almost in tears reflecting and reminding me of the trouble. And we don't do each other any good when we wallow in the misery of the past. I just don't believe in doing that. You can acknowledge it and understand it, make rational decisions, good decisions based on that knowledge, but wallowing in it and empathizing to the point of being silly, you're not helping. You're not helping people. I don't want that for my life. I bet you don't either. Do you really? Do you want people around you to, you know, cry with every time they see you because you've gotten a terrible divorce? Or some empathy is good, but once it's over, it's over. Anyway, so I just wanted you to get a kind of an idea of who Mayor Jacob Frey is. Now, I want to talk to you a second about Amy Klobuchar, because she was there. She is, of course, the senator, the great senator from the state of Minnesota who wanted to be president. And, of course, she had her thing to say to clip seven.
These kids did extraordinary things, but they never should have been put in that position in the first place. This was a madman. He was an all-purpose hater, by the way. Hated groups, left, right, you name it. There's no way to pin an ideology on this, and I think people should remember this as the facts come out about this manifesto. But what I learned from this, once again, is that guns, and we're a proud hunting state. There's a lot of law-abiding gun owners in Minnesota, but there's got to be more we can do.
Okay, Amy Klobuchar. So there was no left or right about this. You know, he hated everybody. Well, look, I saw that manifesto. I haven't read all of it, but I did watch the entire video. It's 11 minutes long. I didn't hear him say anything about anybody on the left. He wants to kill Donald Trump. It doesn't, you know, that doesn't really matter, but she's trying to make a point. She's trying to minimize the fact that he is not by any means a Trump supporter. He's not on the left. He's not part of MAGA, because that's where they love to go with this. She can't do that. So she's got to neutralize it by saying he hated everyone. But he didn't hate everyone, as far as I can tell. And so that brings us to gun control. And this is a subject for another day, but I want to make some observations that other people have made. This one was, this is what I read. Hunter was pardoned from 3 gun-related crimes. I don't ever want to hear another liberal or Democrat talking about gun control laws. All right. Very good point. And also, in terms of trans and shootings, the Denver shooter was trans. That's Devin Erickson. The Denver school shooter number two was also trans. It was Maya Alec McKinney. The Aberdeen shooter was Snosha Mosley, a trans woman or man, I'm not sure. And the Nashville shooter, the one who shot up that Christian school, Audrey Hale, was trans. The Uvalde, Texas shooter was trans. The Georgia shooter, Colt Gray, was trans. The Iowa shooter, Dylan Butler, was trans. The Philadelphia shooter, Kim Brady Carricker, was trans. The Colorado Springs shooter, Anderson Lee Aldrich, identified as non-binary. And there is a graph here of how many, how can I say this? The percentage of trans biological males and trans biological females are killers, mass shooters, by population is off the charts compared to black men, white men, Hispanic men. No comparison. It's amazing. They under trans non-binary biological male, almost 8.8% of them are, you know, this is by population, of course, are mass shooters. And under trans non-binary biological females, almost 0.7% of them are mass shooters. And you may remember, there were a series of videos on TikTok a year or so ago that we played for you. And there was a real move in the transgender community. It might still be there. I'm just not aware. Of encouraging killing. Get angry. Kill people. I wish I had the montage. But I did manage to find one of them. And I'll let you listen to it. It's clip 5. This is a transgender man threatening to kill people. Let's listen.
I can legally carry a gun. So, legally, if I see a viable threat coming at me where I deem it a viable threat against my body or my life, I am perfectly legal to take that threat out. Keep that in mind when you try to make that mistake. And the day you deserve pudding pop. I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action. You need to arm up. Plain and simple. Go out, buy a gun, learn how to use it efficiently, through and through.
All right, so that's just one of many that were rampant on the internet. I think mostly TikTok. And again, they still might be. I'm just not on TikTok. It's occasionally one will get sent to me. But all right, so what's going on here? This is a guy who's willing to kill someone over not being able to use a bathroom. This is not rational. I don't know everything about this, but now I know a lot because this is an issue that I have dealt with through experience and also just through my work. So you've heard me say that I had a very good friend, a male friend. I knew him and his wife and family, two children. I knew them many years. He was a very manly guy. I hate to say too much. I don't want to say too many details. I just would say he learned how to fly Apache helicopters during the Iraq War. He then became a pilot for a major airline. And at some point, he came to me one night because he said he wanted to tell me something. He says in his full captain's uniform from the airlines. And he pulls out of his pocket a photo and hands it to me. And it's actually a photo of him in full drag as a woman. I was shocked beyond belief. That's the end of the story, except that I want you to know that he ended up, I tried very hard to dissuade him from taking hormones and changing. We had so many conversations, prayers, and actually at one point he changed his mind, and then he changed his mind again, and he began taking hormones. And of course, men, when they transition, take estrogen so that they can become women. And girls, ladies, and men, what happens once a month with your wife or with yourself? You get crabby, emotional, irrational, angry, because of the height of estrogen. The estrogen is higher in your body, and it causes this. And it's for women. That's where, I don't know why God did it. We'll have to ask him when we get to heaven, but that's what they're giving to men. So my friend had an episode, which I won't describe because I guard his privacy a little bit. He had an episode, and he was in a very, he was flying a plane. And that's all I'll say about it. But it wasn't good. And I've always felt it's the hormones. He was nothing like that, nothing like that. So I don't know whether Robert was taking hormones, but I'm just telling you, it messes people up. It disturbs them. Listen to the guy in that video I just played where he says he's got a gun and he's going to kill you if you don't let him go into the woman's bathroom. This is not rational. It's like craziness. There is a second thing, and I just heard this from at Liberty Pastors Conference. There was a surgeon who does pelvic surgery. I can't explain to you in detail what I'll just give you general thoughts about this. Let me just say that in the process of surgery, and there's when you transition, there are many, many surgeries. It's not just one. It's many, many surgeries. And, of course, you make men women and you make women men. You try. But the surgeon said it's rarely successful so that on the other side of that you have a normal sexual experience. I'll leave it with that. So I just suspect that a lot of these transgender persons are just really, really frustrated, angry, because this is the way it's going to be for them for the rest of their lives. They've made a choice they can't go back on. Now, Walt Heyer, my good friend Walt, who transitioned to a woman, lived that way, I think, 5 years and then transitioned back, has became a Christian. His whole life changed. And he's married and, but still there, you know, you can imagine that there are residual effects from those changes. And so this creates anger, too. It creates anger. So that, I think, to me, explains a lot of the irrationality and anger, just deep-seated hatred for themselves and for others. That's my armchair psychiatry. And I'm knowledgeable about it, but I'm not a professional, and you all know that. But I want to mention now something else that's really important in this story. And that is the FBI's role in this. Now, stay with me here. You remember Kyle Serafin? Kyle is one of the whistleblower FBI agents who came out. And I think one of the things that he whistleblew on, besides COVID, was what the FBI was doing in regard to transgenderism. They had what they called a Transgender Day of Visibility. And this is what they said. We honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans. Today, we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. That's from the FBI. justice.gov/USAO. And then I want to remind you that they also started this course. Now, I can tell you, because when Bruce was in the FBI, they were getting into this already, and he used to bring things home, and it wasn't transgenderism then, but it was homosexuality, demanding that agents accept it, demanding all kinds of things. You must agree. You must comply, you know? You know the drill. You don't have a choice. And by the way, that is the way it is. You didn't have a choice. You can't just be quiet and be polite and kind. You have to agree. You have to bow the knee. This is also from the FBI, and it has a picture of FBI agents marching in a gay pride parade. So this, I think, is from Kyle explaining this a test that they had to take. The test encourages agents to be allies and to go the extra mile. The in quotes, participate in regional pride events and support field office LGBT plus events. The test states above a picture of FBI agents walking in a pride parade carrying a flag saying, unexpected agent. The FBI did not respond to a request for comment. So in these orientations, they had to learn how to write or talk about a transgender person, how to use the word queer, what one can ask an LGBT person, and how to use pronouns. The FBI originally mandated the test for all employees, but it was removed after backlash in the online comment section. And this information is all coming from the whistleblower, Kyle Serafin. God bless him. So Kyle says the comment section was so negative and the reviews were so negative at this training, the FBI just removed it and didn't tell anybody. And now, one other thing about the FBI, remember that they went after Roman Catholics. Remember they had them on this, they targeted peaceful Catholics as terrorists while promoting trans ideology. That's from the Oversight Project, Mike Howell. That's his take on this, and he's right about it. But now here's the thing. I was actually going to play this for you a couple of days ago, but we ran out of time. I told you we had some circumstances that made doing a podcast difficult. So this is James Comey, the former FBI director. He loves to talk. He's probably in big trouble right now, but I just want to remind you, this was the guy in charge of the FBI. In part, it was Mueller before him and then James Comey, where things developed to the point where I just described how they embraced transgenderism and all of it. So here is the leader of the FBI during that time, James Comey.
Last week's cold turns out to have been COVID, quite a flashback. And Donald Trump is still president and still humiliating America on a national stage, standing next to Vladimir Putin. It's like a dream, a bad dream you can't wake up from. But I don't want to talk about that bad dream this week. I want to talk about a truly inspirational public figure named Taylor Swift. Of course, I watched her podcast interview with the Kelce brothers. Of course, I watched the whole thing, although on YouTube, Patrice and I got kicked off for the last 15 minutes and finished it on her phone. But I watched it. You see, Taylor Swift and I go way back. I went to my first concert of hers 15 years ago. I've been to a second, and I have helped financially support the attendance of a lot of family members at others. I'm in a family's Swiftie group chat. I know all her music, and I listen to it in my headphones when I cut the grass. So yes, I have a favorite of hers, although honestly, for me, it's a tie between All Too Well, 10-minute version, and Exile, featuring Bon Iver. Taylor Swift has grown up with my family and provided us a soundtrack, really, as we've grown ourselves and learned and adapted and dealt with adversity and celebration. She had songs for all of it. I suspect that's something that millions of Americans have also experienced in their families. I think that's because Taylor Swift produces great art, but also because she models something. At every stage of her career, she's shown a certain way of being that resonated with my kids and also felt right to me as a parent. And she's still doing that as a grown-up. Like a lot of you, I struggle with how to stand up to bullies without letting their meanness infect me and change me.
All right, so does that not explain something? It just struck me this morning. Here's the FBI director, a Swiftie, waxing eloquent about how Taylor Swift is a hero. His playlist, he talks in another clip, he talks about his playlist, what he likes to listen to. It's just absolutely reprehensible, really. I mean, real men just don't talk like that. I don't know what the story is with James Comey, but he is the one who oversaw that. He is the one that allowed the FBI to have transgender trainings, forcing them to have these trainings. He's the guy that oversaw all of that, and thank God he's gone. Do you understand now more clearly how our country has descended to the place it's descended? We have had horrible leaders with no moral foundings, no sense of righteousness, none. It's just, I don't understand. I don't understand how it got this bad, except that it did. And so now we have to turn it around. Well, I'm going to take a break, but when we come back, I have two things I want to talk to you about. I have a brief update on Cracker Barrel, and then I have a story from across the pond that will relate to the first part of our discussion today on Minnesota. So don't go away. I'll be right back. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And the FDA finally approved the French abortion pill. And again, there's two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done. But Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill. And the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Calvin Klein said being morbidly obese was cool. Then Nike used a man in leggings to sell women's clothes. They must think we're fools. Go woke, go broke. That's what they say. Try selling folks what they don't want. You'll find there's hell to pay. If you ask me, you should keep your politics to yourself and we'll both have a better day. Greedy banks lecturing me about DEI. Are they for real? And some whack jobs. Committing suicide. to sell in your screens, beans and widget machines.
All right. Oh, man. I think that is so funny and it's so clever and it's so true. Go woke, go broke. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of all these companies trying to force you to believe certain things that you don't believe and you want them to just be quiet, just sell what you're selling, make a good product? That used to be the way it was. Business was neutral. But that's the update on Cracker Barrel. Well, no, that's not the update. I'm going to give you one. I spent a long time on the first show of this week talking about Cracker Barrel, and I hope that you'll go back and listen because the problems there are much deeper than you're likely hearing on news, on the news. They have now decided they're going to, ta-da, you know, return to the old logo, and that's what they think is going to win you back. But I'm telling you, the logo is the least of our worries. It's the woke policies. It's the fact that they have been supporting gay pride parades, the human rights campaign, which is the most wicked and most powerful entity of promoting gay and lesbian and transgender rights. And as far as I can tell, they've done nothing about that. They've told you they're going back to the old logo, and they expect you to be too dumb to understand that they have not changed in other ways. So I'm telling you, no, I'm not going back to Cracker Barrel until they have a different CEO and until they change, completely root out their DEI policies and their advocation of these horrible things. So that's the update on Cracker Barrel. Now, you may remember, this is a different topic, but you may remember I've told you in the past, and you read a lot, so you know these things too, there has been an epidemic of pedophilia in Great Britain, United Kingdom, and Scotland. And it's coming, look, for the most part, it's coming from Pakistani men. They have been grooming and raping little girls for years now. And here's what's been happening. The dads will protest. The dads try to go out in the streets. They have had marches against this. Dads have gone on Facebook calling it out. So what do you think's happened? What do you think has happened? Well, those dads get arrested. I saw a video of one guy who had merely made a Facebook post, nothing vulgar, just calling them out and talking about what happened to his daughter. And they came to his house and arrested him and put him in jail. And nothing was ever done to the Pakistani men who are grooming. They call them grooming gangs. It's just so repulsive. But I'm telling you, this is happening in England. London is, many people call it Londistan now. London is unrecognizable. So now move across to Scotland. I saw this article and this video yesterday. And I'm telling you, it's very upsetting. The situation is that there are two young girls, 14 and 12, they're sisters. And the backstory is that they have been harassed by some, I don't know what nationality, Middle Eastern men. And it's been going on for a couple of weeks. And so these young girls go out into this park or this central area of this, I think, high rises around them on a grassy knoll. And you cannot see the Muslim man, but you hear him. And these girls are carrying an axe and a knife. An axe and a knife. And I want you to hear this interaction. I want you to hear it. This is clip 12.
Yes, you have a knife. Why are you f***ing with us? Show the knife. Show the knife. Show the knife. Marata.
Don't touch your gun to me. Don't talk at all.
Stay away from my sister. She's only 12. Stay away from my sister. She's only 12. And that was obviously, that accent was not Middle Eastern. It was Pakistani. So Pakistanis are Muslim. Many of them, most of them are Muslim. That's why the strife between India and Pakistan. But these little girls, so upset and so afraid that they got a knife and an axe out of their home. And the big sister, only 14, they both look like little girls. She's saying, stay away from my sister. She's only 12. She's only 12. Well, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? What do you think the police did? They came to the home of the little girl and put her in a juvenile facility for carrying a weapon in public. What happened to the man harassing her? Nothing. Nothing. This is what's happening in Great Britain. Great Britain? Are you kidding me? Great Britain? The same thing's happening in France. Only I want to play another clip for you. Now, this is all in French, and so you won't be able to understand, but I'll just tell you, there's a girl on a park bench. You can't see her face. It's blocked out, but you can see she's got a nice shape, but she's modestly dressed. She's just on this park bench, and there are two Muslim men hovering over her, and another Frenchman approaches. And I think you can kind of make out what happens just by the ending. Let's listen, and then I'll tell you. I'll fill in the blanks. Here it is. This is clip 11.
Aide au pied. Aide assis. Bonjour. Vous allez bien?
Ça va et toi? Non.
Pourquoi vous l'embêtez?
Parce qu'on veut son instar, il a fait la star.
Et du coup, elle a refusé.
Ouais.
Mais du coup, pourquoi forcer si elle a refusé?
Et si on a envie de forcer?
Ça marchera pas, c'est pas comme ça qu'il faut draguer une femme.
Mais d'accord, mais ça te regarde?
Moi, ça me regarde pas, mais arrête, ça le regarde, parce qu'il aime pas qu'on agresse les femmes.
Il peut me regarder jusqu'à demain comme ça, ça me regarde pas lui aussi.
Mais au bout d'un moment, il va arrêter de regarder, il va intervenir.
Mais j'aimerais bien voir ça.
Moi, je vous propose de partir et on en reste là.
On va pas partir. On va partir, non? On va pas partir, c'est chez nous, on va partir.
Et pourquoi vous êtes comme ça?
On fait ce qu'on veut, vas-y, s'il te plaît, bouge avec ton chien, là.
Allez, attention.
All right, so this girl, you hear her saying, they keep saying things, and she keeps saying, no. And so this man approaches, and he's got a pretty big dog. He's the one filming this. So you see the dog, and you don't see him. And so he comes up to the park bench, and he says to these guys, what are you doing? Leave her alone. He says, that's not a way to get a girlfriend. She doesn't want you. And they say some things I can't repeat that are bordering on vulgar. And so the Frenchman says, well, leave her alone. And they say, we're not going anywhere. We live here. This is our home. He said, leave her alone. And then the dog starts to growl. And these guys are still really defiant. And they say something like, we're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. And the Frenchman with the dog says, well, you might want to go somewhere. You might want to stop. And they say, we're not stopping. I believe that dog can cause trouble when I see it. And that's when the guy warns them, and then he unleashes the dog, and then they run like crazy. Okay, so why do I describe that and go through that? It's because this is happening in France. France has been so made into another Muslim capital, the same as London. And French, you know, in Paris, they have no-go zones that are filled with Muslim men. No, the police won't even go into those zones. And women are prey. They are. They just are. Muslim men do not regard women like Western men. So this is a serious problem, and we are we're coming into that in our own country. We talked about the murder by this transgender Robert at the beginning of the show, but our children are under attack in every way. It's open season, and you know, no wonder. Did we not allow our babies to be killed, our own children to be killed, with our permission? I don't see the difference. I really don't see the difference. It's open season on children and young women, and it has to stop. And I want to end with this. Pastors, this is what your families are facing in the world, in school, and outside of the church building. This is what's happening. You cannot ignore this. You must equip your people. I don't mean with guns. I mean help them to understand what this is all about. Talk about transgenderism. Help them. Give them a baseline. Give them the biblical reason why God, why it's not God's way. He created men, male and female created he them. Give them coping mechanisms. Help them to understand. Shame the men if they don't protect. Do what's right. You are a prophet, meaning one who tells forth. You are not called by God to stay safely in the church and only speak what's written on the pages of our Bible. Because God, Jesus said, the last thing he said was, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, but teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Talk about everything. Teach them. Give them foundations, biblical understanding. Please, you have to arise to this. You've got to not. You've got to bring warning, and you've also got to bring comfort because things are going to happen. If you just stay silent on it, what are you doing? What are you doing, and what has God called you to do? Well, I know I'm preaching myself today. This stuff is so disturbing to me, and I'm sure it is to you too. And so I'd like to put a stop to it. And the only way, we're not going to stop it. We know that because I think the devil is getting more bold because he knows his day's coming to an end. And so we're going to have to put up with this, but we better equip our people. And one last thing, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you know the Lord Jesus, you know he has much more power than Satan. Satan can't do anything, really, unless God allows it. And we have to just make sure that we are invoking the power of the Holy Spirit. Our lives are clear and pure. Our sin is confessed so that God can fill us with his Spirit and work through us to fight this stuff. So, okay, I'm done. And I want to remind you that we have some sponsors, and I'm very proud that we have these sponsors. A Timothy Plan is one of them, and they show you how to put your money where your values are, like, you know, not investing in a Cracker Barrel. And that's my words, not Timothy Plan's words, but they show you how to put your money where your values are. They have charts, and they know what these companies stand for and what they are supporting, and help you discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.